Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. For the past couple of shows, we have been looking at a response that the entertainer Donny Osmon gave to a 13-year-old girl who wrote him. She was recently baptized in the Mormon Church, but was very concerned after going on what she calls an anti-Mormon website to learn that Joseph Smith was tried for money digging. Well, Donny Osmon responds to this accusation by basically sticking with the party line that in the Joseph Smith history, Smith himself gives this account where he was working on a silver mine, and that this is where that label of money digger actually came from. Well, that's not really true. First of all, we know that there's plenty of evidence that gives the impression that Joseph Smith already had that label. Now, on yesterday's show, we were demonstrating that Smith was in fact tried for being a glasslooker in 1826, March 20th, 1826. And Fraser's Magazine, as recorded in the book Mormonism, Shadow, or Reality by Gerald and Sandra Tanner, they cite this in Chapter 4 of their book from Fraser's Magazine in 1873, and we read a portion of that account in yesterday's show. We finished the show by giving you some of the responses from various Mormon outlets trying to repudiate that. Even the Church News denied that there was ever such a court case, and there certainly that could have never happened. But then there's also a Mormon apostle by the name of John Witzo who also denied it as well.
Yeah, this is Joseph Smith's Seeker After Truth that he wrote in 1951 on page 78. He said, "This alleged court record seems to be a literary attempt of an enemy to ridicule Joseph Smith by bringing together all the current gossip of that day and making him appear to confess to it. There is no existing proof that such a trial was ever held."
Now, again, let me remind you that Fawn McKay Brody does talk about this in her book, No Man Knows My History, and that's the reference that's being made there by John Witzo. Is there such a court record? Well, there is. In 1971, Wesley P. Walters, a Presbyterian minister who was very interested in the history of Mormonism, did happen to find the very court record from Judge Albert Neely's court showing that Smith was in fact tried for being a glasslooker in 1826. Now remember, as we said before, Donny Osmon said that he got this title of being a money digger after he was trying to just make a living for his small family. The court trial took place on March 20th, 1826. Joseph Smith isn't even married to Emma Hale until January 18th, 1827. So I don't know where Donny gets his information, but certainly he was not married at that time.
And if you want to see a photograph of the justice's bill, you can actually buy Mormonism Shadow Reality on page 36. They have photocopied it. So this is real information that wasn't around in the 1950s when Witzo gave his comment, but is now available after 1971.
And I think we should also give a plug to the little booklet, Joseph Smith's Bainbridge, New York Court Trials by Wesley P. Walters, that is available from the Utah Lighthouse Ministry, utlm.org. I would encourage you to purchase this little booklet. I think it's just a few dollars. Very well worth the price. But the fact is, folks, the court record has been found, even though the Church News and John Witzo and others were certainly denying that it ever existed.
And I want to give a shout out to Walters for the tireless research that he did. If I'm not mistaken, he found this in a basement of the courthouse that had been flooded. So this was not an easy job to go through all of these bills, and he just happened to come across this. Amazing, the work that he did that helps us out today to show that what we're talking about is true.
According to Wes Walters, he says, "On Saturday, May 22nd, 1971, while in Norwich, New York, I, Wesley P. Walters of Marissa, Illinois, was shown by the county historian, Mrs. May Smith, where Chenango County kept their dead storage, which was in a back poorly lit room in the basement of the county jail. And it's while looking through this material in company with Mrs. Smith, we came across the county bills from the early 1800s. These bills were arranged in bundles by townships, and the townships bound together by years. This is where he found it.
Yeah.
So it's amazing that he did find it in the first place. But can you imagine the chagrin of all those who were saying, oh, such a record never existed? Well, when you look at the account of Joseph Smith being labeled a money digger in the history that we find in The Pearl of Great Price, Joseph Smith gives the impression that he gets the title of money digger after he was looking for this silver in this silver mine for Josiah Stoll. But the Joseph Smith papers now prove that that's not true, that Joseph Smith was not telling the truth when he tries to give the impression that the label of money digger was given after that incident. The fact is, folks, is Joseph Smith was known as a money digger before he went to work for Josiah Stoll, and the new Joseph Smith papers that the LDS Church is responsible for coming up with now admits this.
This is actually found in the Appendix 1, and it reads this way. Substantial corroborating evidence supports the plausibility of such an agreement, which, if authentic, provides a glimpse of the folk world in which Joseph Smith lived, as treasure-seeking was widespread throughout New England during Joseph Smith's youth. The agreement seems to be generally consistent with the historical record. Most of the 15 persons named in the agreement can be identified. One of the signers, Josiah Stoll, hired Joseph Smith to assist him in the search for buried treasure. And one of the witnesses, Isaac Hale, provided boarding for Joseph Smith during that period. Joseph Smith was in Harmony, Pennsylvania in the fall of 1825, and the agreement could have been created during his employment with Stoll. In 1825, Joseph Smith had a reputation in Manchester and Palmyra, New York, for his activities as a treasure seer or someone who used a seer stone to locate gold or other valuable objects buried in the earth.
Now notice the date there, 1825. He's already known for being this money digger or glass looker. He already is known to have this seer stone. Remember, he found this seer stone in 1822 while digging a well with his brother Hiram.
Ms. Stoll apparently visited Manchester and hired Joseph Smith to help him in his search for a Spanish silver mine on the banks of the Susquehanna River in Pennsylvania. Isaac Hale later explained that Joseph Smith and a group of quote-unquote money diggers boarded at his house in November 1825, at which time Joseph Smith began courting Hale's daughter, Emma.
And that goes right along with the affidavit that Isaac Hale, Joseph Smith's future father-in-law, had published in a local paper. As we've mentioned before when we've talked about that, can you imagine the embarrassment for Emma to find that her own father had published this kind of a scathing rebuke of Joseph Smith, and certainly not speaking very highly of him at all. How embarrassing that must have been for her. Well, imagine how embarrassing it was for Isaac Hale to have his daughter run off with a guy like this, because Joseph Smith asked for Emma Hale's hand in marriage, and he said no way. And the reason why he said no is because he did not like the business that Joseph Smith was in. Now, if he was a reputable miner working in a mine, why would Isaac Hale have a problem with that?
He wouldn't.
The reason he had a problem was because of Joseph Smith's involvement in folk magic. Now, when Donnie tries to give the impression that this didn't happen, it really makes you wonder, where is he getting his information here? Well, he's probably getting some of his information from the history found in the Pearl of Great Price. But as we demonstrate now, in light of the Joseph Smith papers, what it says in the history of Joseph Smith and the Pearl of Great Price is not the truth. He did not get that label after he was working with Josiah Stoll. He had the label of money digger before he worked with Josiah Stoll. So I wonder, do you think the Mormon Church is going to revise that portion of the history of Joseph Smith? Probably not. But how many people are going to read that, not knowing the history behind it, and assume that what Joseph Smith puts in that statement in Mormon scripture, because that is a part of Mormon scripture, is really not true? It does not comport to the truth. Now, before we close this show, let me do a little bit of a recap on this. This young lady writes Donny Osmond because she's concerned about what she read on what she called an anti-Mormon website about Joseph Smith being tried for money digging. As I mentioned earlier, we had talked about some of the responses from a Mormon apostle by the name of John Witzo, and also a response in the Church News that was denying this idea that Joseph Smith was ever tried for money digging or glass looking. They said it just didn't happen. Let me read you one more denial by Dr. Hugh Nibley. Dr. Hugh Nibley was probably considered one of the foremost apologists of the Mormon Church, I guess you could say, while he was alive. And he wrote a book called The Myth Makers. Now, I've been citing from Mormonism, Shadow or Reality, a book written by Gerald and Sandra Tanner, and I'm going to go back to it and cite this quotation from Dr. Nibley. This is how important the Mormons saw this information back then. In his book, The Myth Makers, this is what the Tanners write. Dr. Hugh Nibley has written almost 20 pages in an attempt to discredit the Bainbridge court record. The Bainbridge court record being the record found by Wesley P. Walters in 1971 that shows that Joseph Smith was in fact on trial for being a glass looker. On page 142 of Dr. Nibley's book, we find this statement, quote, "If this court record is authentic, it is the most damning evidence in existence against Joseph Smith," end quote. The Tanners write, Dr. Nibley's book also states that if the authenticity of the court record could be established, it would be, quote, "the most devastating blow to Smith ever delivered." I would have to assume that before Dr. Hugh Nibley died, he must have known that this court record was around because he died after 1971. But I don't ever hear of Hugh Nibley ever leaving the Mormon Church over it. No, they make these statements of bravado. But then when the evidence shows that they were wrong, well, okay, I guess we'll have to just live with that. In other words, all the statements they made before, they certainly don't hold to anymore. I just wanted to bring that out to show that certainly they felt that this was very, very important.
And once again, to this girl's credit, these things do bother her if they're true, and that's why she's trying to find out the answers. I wish there were more Latter-day Saints like her.
Tomorrow, we're going to continue looking at the concerns that she sent to Donny Osmond, the Mormon entertainer.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered where you can go in downtown Salt Lake City to browse the largest inventory of Christian books on the Mormon religion? Well, the answer is the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, located at 1358 South and West Temple, just across the street from the Smith Ballpark. Whether you're looking for a basic introduction or a more scholarly work, Sandra Tanner and her staff will assist you in finding the appropriate resources so you can better understand the LDS religion. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore also carries dozens of books that Sandra and her husband Gerald have written over the past five decades. This includes their comprehensive work, Mormonism, Shadow or Reality. So, once again, if you have questions about the LDS faith, there is always somebody behind the desk who would be more than happy to assist you. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and on Saturdays from 1 to 5. Remember, when in Salt Lake City, be sure to come check out the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, located right there at 1358 South and West Temple.